understanding. Thank you for your teaching and help. Oh, sorry, this sentence is break up into two. Huh? Thank you for your teaching, which has helped us learn life's lesson. So I will take this time to wish you happiness, good health, and much more than just a happy birthday. Your gesture really speaks volume. Wish you again have all the best in life with Metta, Angie Chia. I don't know who is she also. I think it's the Angie Thursday class if I'm not wrong. Yeah? Anybody know her? Yeah? Oh, you know her. Gomoy knows her. Yeah? So it's a very simple message, but it was very meaningful. So that's why I purposely take it back from the office. Yeah. Then since we have some time, we got another 3 more minutes, so I read it to you. For the benefit of Hui Rong, maybe I read again. You just came in. This was the year 2013, October, during our gathering of Kayanamitas. 20th October 2013. So he wrote this card. She wrote this card. In front is a clown with a guitar. A very simple card. He said, happy birthday to you, Bratio. Everything happens for a reason. Then the message inside is very beautiful and meaningful. He said, Bratio, you make such a difference in people's life. You have the gift of giving and the gift of receiving. So often we wonder about the why in life, but it seems that there are few people in this world or in any walk of life who care as much about their work as you do. You can translate that caring into action, guidance, and understanding. Thank you. Thank you for your teaching that had helped us learn life's lesson. So I will take this time to wish you happiness, good health, and much more than just a happy birthday. Your gesture really speaks volume. Wishing you again, all the best in life with Metta, Angie Chia. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So some very simple message, but very well written. She must have somehow benefited in certain way, otherwise she won't write in such a nice way. So, we can start puja now. Exactly 8:10. So today, we have to get 2 persons to come and help light up the thing. Who else haven't done so? Everybody have done so. Chai Chai and Mimi last week done already, I think. May also done already, I think. Are there? LC, you haven't done, come, LC, come. LC and who? PG, come. The two of you. One light. The incense, the other one light the, light the candle. Good. This one the flame is longer, easier to light, the incense. Like a little bit more. Okay, sadhu. Let us gather in front. Stand up. Gather in front. Then we will start the puja. Come. Bring up the tray. Offer the tray to Buddha, Lord Buddha, and Kanye Bodhisattva. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You can go back to your seat, then we can start the puja. We will do the homage to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. We will chant the Mahayana tradition first. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho saṅghaṃ namāmi. Okay. You can be seated. Then turn to page 4 of the chanting book. Then we can start our official puja chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will now chant the Padipapuja, the offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamandang sina tiloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang sanda sambarayutena penahang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanda ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang kasumayeneyanena Punnena mattena ca hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Ahivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Turn to page 18, the last page. We were chant the puja aspiration. We are understanding the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pajami Dhammang Pajami Sanghang Pajami. Okay. Just relax yourself, maintain some more attention that we can start our meditation. Today we got 20 minutes. We can have 20 minutes of good meditation. I will off now my incense. That one you don't understand the switch. It's okay, it's okay. Yeah, I will off it. For those who already know how to meditate, you straight away can start your meditation. Then for those who still new or need to train their mind, you go ahead. If you need to develop the deconditioning of your heedless thinking, because the spiritual faculties are not strong, the hindrances are still there, then you do the mind sweeping method, combined with loving kindness or metta. For those who are not sure, you can read up the blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 1, dated 12, based on a talk, dated 12 September 2013. Then once you have already developed the ability to be mindful, to be silent, you have to develop the stability of that mindfulness, that silence within. If you need a skillful means or a meditation object to help you do that, like anapanasati or rising and falling, or even any of the mantra chanting or dynamic meditation, you can use them. If you already develop the spiritual faculty, you can actually skip most of this, because the spiritual faculty will make you quiet, peaceful and silent with awareness within relatively easily. When sadha and virya is already established, your mind is very calm and very composed. Then when you already have the ability to be mindful, you will be silent without thought. Then you just relax and silence everything. If you need the object of meditation to stabilize that silence, then you develop awareness of it. Otherwise, you can just silent and it will stay there. Then when you have stabilized that sati, and it is capable of samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, then you just use that silent mind in sati and samadhi to meditate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. And all this is very useful. They will help you to develop the mind, to train the mind, to stabilize the spiritual faculty. Then your puja offering will arise the causes and condition for your pure wish and aspiration, born of understanding the significance of all this offering, to develop the five spiritual faculty until they are very stable, until they become balas or powers. Then your meditation will progress very fast. Then naturally you will know how to meditate, because the spiritual faculties will all fall into place. Your sati will stabilize, samadhi will develop. Then sadha and virya will also be there. And when the spiritual faculty of sati, samadhi are there, it will bring forth the understanding, which is wisdom, panya, the last spiritual faculty. Once all the five spiritual faculties are developed and stabilized, the hindrance will be at bay. The hindrance of mind will cease to be. Then your mind will straight away develops the meditative mind, because there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. So this understanding is very important. Then with that, you just silence your mind. And through that silence, you will develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, how this form and mind, the five create of form and mind, arise and pass away, how you function as a human being, how the dependent origination arise and pass away, the dwelling. Then you will witness all the essential Dhamma within your own form and mind. You will see the Four Noble Truths arising and passing away, the mental hindrance arising and passing away, then replaced by the spiritual faculties. Then after that, the three evil roots. When you understand what the three evil roots are, you will know how to develop the five ways to overcome the evil roots. And through this five ways, you will develop wisdom and understanding. Then the mind will understand very quickly all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. Then your meditation will deepen. Through that silent mind, you will understand and it will awaken to phenomena. Then the real meditation is, after you have trained the mind, developed the spiritual faculty, you use this trained mind together with the spiritual faculty to develop the heedfulness as taught by the Buddha. To be heedful is to be ever mindful. So this training of mind to be ever mindful is the first step. Then you have to make full use of this trained mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in daily life, which is the daily mindfulness. Sati Sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action or movement in the present moment in the midst of life. That is the true meditation. That is the real meditation. Okay, with that, I will let you do your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will proceed with the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. I will read to you all the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entireties, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Bandhata Dhamma Savanankalo Ayang Bandhata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vicca Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanaiko Chattang Veditat Bhuvino Hiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atha Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we will now pay respect to Triple Gem. Then we will continue with our second session. Pedang Pujemi Damang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi Okay. You can just relax yourself, yeah, and be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stop. Surangama Sutta. Oh, Diamond Sutta, not Surangama. Sorry. So Diamond Sutta. What page will be? Oh, okay. Page 8. Second last paragraph. Not 13 already. Oh, I fold wrongly. The old folding is still there. Oh, yeah. 13, yes. We only finish less than one paragraph last Tuesday. Yeah. Okay, before I forget, Yun Chan, return you this Tony's never mind, I had already copied into my computer. Yeah, you can pass it. Yeah. Our Amisana Jujaiko. Oh yeah, he wants to borrow Mimi. Yeah. I circulated the thing for sharing among those who go to Amisana. I don't know whether you all managed to open it up or not. How many of you couldn't open? Huh? So many cannot open? How come? It's a Dropbox link, so I can open mine. I send it to myself, then I on the thing I received. I saw all the photo there. But you have to download into your Dropbox first, though. No file. How come so funny? I download got file. Maybe I don't know how to share. I don't know how they share. From the Dropbox, how you share? Well, when I click share, they ask me to email to somebody. Then when I email, the first link I share, that one cannot come out. Click on it, nothing come out. I put in my Dropbox already. Oh, must put in my Dropbox. It's in my Dropbox already. Then I share. When I click on share, they ask me to email to somebody the link. Then I email to myself. Then from the email, I share again. I don't know why it become like sister gig on that one without the Dropbox link come out on. Never mind. I go back. I check and see. I also cannot understand IT thing. But the photo he took was very professional, very different. Very methodical. He can take the shot at the angle you never able to think of. And very systematic. And in very good order. Then the photo. Yeah. And also the photos were very sharp. Turned out to be very sharp. It's like, anyway, you cannot open means something wrong with the link. I have to go and check again. Because when I went into the Dropbox, I saw that link, so I took it out. But I send it out through the email. Normally that link, you click on it, it will come out already. But the first time I send out, I click, doesn't come out. So I knew was something wrong. Then I do it through the sharing. Then when I do it through the sharing, my one came out on my computer. But I thought the rest must have come out. But because no reply, so I assume nobody able to open it out. Then when I came home, I asked my wife to on. Cannot. She also cannot open it out. The link was there, but only the text came out. The photo all missing. Very strange. The photo all missing. But on my computer, when I click on all the photo come out. Maybe this one I link to Picasa. There is a photo upload on Picasa. Maybe you all don't have Picasa, I think. Huh? Mine was linked to Picasa. Before the link, it cannot come out also. I should have linked to Google Plus. Google Plus easier. More people have. Yeah. Never mind. Let's see how it goes. Okay, we will continue from where we stop. I think we are at the second paragraph. Oh no, we almost finished that page. The four deportation. Oh. Yeah, last paragraph. The opening statement. Turn to the front page. Immediately after the Patreon. The verse for opening a sutra. Just before page 1. We should recite this so that you can develop the understanding that this type of sutta are very rare to come by. We will recite together. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay. Then we turn to page 13, last paragraph. In response to Vinaya Master Tao Xuan's superb cultivation of the 3,000 deportation. Oh, instead of 4, now got 3,000. This one is all posture, no? And the 80,000 fine practices. The gods brought him offering. Those of you who wish to be high master should protect and maintain the precepts and rules, and then the Dhamma protectors and good spirits will protect you. If you break the precept, they will not. Vinaya Master Tao Xuan was dignified and pure in his Vinaya. A great model for the triple rhyme. You know what is a triple rhyme? We got this, the three world. The sensual rhyme, the form rhyme, and the formless rhyme. They call it the Kama Loka. Kama is sensual rhyme. K-A-M-A, not K-A-M-M-A. K-A-M-A, Kama. Kama in Pali. The translation is sensual rhyme. That's why I call Kama Loka. Then Rupa Loka is the form rhyme, where only the form takes precedent and predominant. The senses are not active. That's why only within the sensual rhyme, the senses are very active. Whereas within the form rhyme, the mind is very clear. That's why they have this Brahma Vihara, the four abiding of the Brahmas. Loving kindness, which is metta. Then you have compassion, which is Karuna, then you have rejoicing, sympathetic joy, which is mudita. Then the last one is upeka, or equanimity of mind. So these are the four abiding of Brahmas. So Brahma, because they don't have the sensual desire, or they are within the form rhyme, they are not within the sensual rhyme. So their mind states are beautiful. They can abide in these four abiding. Then the formless rhyme are totally without form. It's only the formless mind that exists. And that rhyme, they live for very, very long. So a lot of cultivators who actually manage to experience those mind states, to them, they knew that one is like eternal life after they die or they pass away, after this physical form is gone, they will take birth there. That's why some make aspiration to take birth there. And because the lifespan there is so long, some of them mistaken it to be enlightenment. They thought that was the ultimate Nibbana. That was what happened to both the two teachers of Sakyamuni, Udaka and Alara. Both of them developed their jhana until the 7th and the 8th jhana. The second last teacher developed until the 7th jhana, which is the second highest of the formless rhyme. Then the last teacher developed until the highest, which is the 8th jhana, or the final 4th level of the formless rhyme. So when they are in that state of mind, it's equivalent to a very, very tranquil, still, and very, very blissful type of abiding. And they live very long. So to them, they thought that is ultimate. So those who have that type of wrong view, they can get trapped in those rhymes. And finally, over a long, long period of existence, they were dropped. Just like what happened to Mahabrahma. That Mahabrahma, during the Buddha's time, when he went up there to actually preach to him, that what he understood is not ultimate. Yeah, he thought he is the creator, God, Mahabrahma. Where he saw everything that came after him. Because during the world cycle destruction, actually they destroyed until Mahabrahma, that rhyme. And because it was destroyed up to there, then after that, Mahabrahma, those who fall from the higher rhyme, they started that rhyme. Then from that rhyme, it's as if he created the other rhyme, then the other being starts to appear. So he had that delusion. So he thought he was the God of all creation. So all this, you can read it up, is all in the sutta. That conversation between Sakyamuni and this Mahabrahma was very good. And the sutta, I think, was quite long. I heard the story from the late Reverend Suwano. He used to tell a lot of story about this Mahabrahma and Sakyamuni. So if you are interested, you can go and read up the. Yeah, that's why they call it their God, which is to them is the ultimate, the creator. But actually, it's only Mahabrahma. From there, that rhyme, because when our universe was destroyed, the first few times is by, I think, water. Water. Then fire. Then wind, I think. You remember the 31 planets existed? There are these 64, don't know what, Mahakapas, or don't know what kapas, where one complete cycle, the whole of this universe will be destroyed. Means from birth is sustained, then deteriorate, then final destruction cycle. And it lasts very, very long. But the final destruction, I forgot whether it's wind or fire. I remember it's after water. It will hit until that Mahabrahma rhyme, and all the beings in all those rhymes are gone. Not to say disappear, no longer within that world system. They could have taken birth in other universe or world system. But within that world system, all gone. Then they have to wait for condition to arise for the higher rhyme. Brahma beings and the formless rhyme, they fall from one rhyme to another rhyme until they hit the Brahma rhyme, and then they start again. Then When Sakyamuni met this Mahabrahma, you know, through the dialogue, he told him, do you know that you have fallen from the very, very high formless realm? After so many, many aeons, now you are at Mahabrahma. If you still think you are the creator god, if you're not careful, very soon you will hit the sensual realm already. You see? We have Mahabrahma to sensual realm is 3 more realms only, I remember. Oh. Then they will fall to the Deva realm. After the Deva realm, you can go to Manusa or you go to animal realm or the spirit, demon, animal, spirit. Then finally you can go down to hell. Even the devas, sometimes in extreme anger, they straight away, they will die. Like we all kena heart attack. They burn. Then they go down straight away. Anger on normally is a demon. Go to the demon. Then if you got delusion and anger, then you may go to hell. Then those who had greed, they will go to the petarine. Then those with delusion, they will go to animal realm. So this was what was related by Sakyamuni Buddha. So many of these mind state, if you are not careful, that's why it's mentioned here. He was an example for those in the desire realm, the form realm, and the formless realm. See, these are the 3 worlds. Yeah. And in response, the god brought him food to eat. So this high master, Tao Xuan, was dignified and pure in Vinaya, a great model for the triple gem. So this refers to a 3 realm. So it's also explained there. He was an example for those in the desire realm, is our sensual realm. Form realm is the Brahma realm, where there is only form. There's no more. The senses are very, very weak, not dominant at all. That's why it's only form and mind. Then there is one realm, the last one, they call it the formless, where there is just mind, and that one they live very long. So, and in response, the god brought him food to eat. Actually, not so much of bringing food for him to eat. It's more of the protection by the Dhamma protectors. And this protection is very true. We turn backward. I like this particular sharing. He said, in response to Vinaya Master Tao Xuan's superb cultivation of the 3,000 deportation and the 80,000 fine practices, means he actually held on to all his practices very, very diligently. And because of that, he said the god brought him offering. Those of you who wish to be high master like him, he said, should protect and maintain the precepts and rules. These are the various type of cultivation, precepts and rules. And then the Dhamma protectors and good spirit will protect you. And this is very true. If you really, really cultivate with that level of practices, means the understanding, the wisdom, you are incapable of negativity, and you really develop the well-developed training rules. And because of that, the Dhamma will shine forth. The quality of your virtue, your wisdom, and your understanding will shine forth. And this Dhamma protector, they know. They will be very keen to protect you. And they will be very keen to be with you, because you will share the merits, transfer the merits. Then you will speak the Dhamma. And then they, at the same time, can develop the understanding. And it's very wholesome for them to protect the sasana. So this particular understanding is very important. That's why if you want Dhamma protectors to protect you, You must develop the cultivation. You must keep on to your precepts. You must hold on to everything that you understand through your diligence, your faith, and your sincerity. Okay, we move on. Then one day when a god appeared with food, Vinaya Master Tao Xuan asked him, "Why does everyone like Kumarajiva's translation?" The god named, how to pronounce her? Lu Xuan Zhang replied, "Because Kumarajiva has been the master translator for the past 7 Buddhas, you know. See? No wonder he very good. This is according to Mahayana Sutta. He has been the translator for the past 7 Buddhas. The sutras he translated are the same as the Buddha's mind. So everyone like to read and recite them. So that's how he become the most popular. Moreover, when Kumarajiva was about to die, he said, "I personally don't know if there are mystics in the sutta, in the sutras that I have translated. But if there are none," he made this aspiration, "when I'm cremated, my tongue will not burn." "If I have made mistake and the translation are not in accord with the Buddha's mind, then my tongue will burn." After Kumarajiva's completed the stillness, means his parinibbana, his body was burned, but his tongue remained untouched by the fire, fully certifying that the sutras which Dhamma Master Kumarajiva translated are completely correct. So this was recorded. So according to the sutta, that's why sometimes they make this style of aspiration. And really, because they are very confident. You remember Sakyamuni? When he was tested, his perfection of the parami, kanti, patience. What did he vow? What was his vow? Because he cultivated patience. You remember he met the king of Kalinga, who later on became Kondanya. He cut off his forelimb. Then what did he told the king? What did he told the king? In a way, it's like that. If he had perfected, but he said it in a very, very detailed manner, because the king asked him. Remember, he said, "Oh, you are trying to cultivate the perfection of patience. I see how patient you are when I chop off your limb." You remember? He said. Then you know what he told the king, no? After you were chopped off, he said, "If I had any slightest anger, hatred, or impatience, my limb will never come back to me." The moment he said that, all the four limbs came back to him. Any mark within that is deluded, his limb will not come back to him. That's why nature's law is very powerful. If you know how to make aspiration. Nature's law, if you really have that type of parami, and you are confident, and when you make that type of vow, that's why all the great bodhisattva, they know how to make this style of vow. Like Kuan Yin, they all. Even Pusian, I tell you, Pusian, the vow, 10 only, very simple, but very powerful. You remember? He can pay respect to Triple Gem simultaneously, at one prostration, to all Buddhas of the 3 period of time. You have that type of cultivation or not? 3 period of time, in one prostration. Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And when he make offering, he can also do it simultaneously. That's why he has this special vow, which he cultivated through his wisdom, understanding, and perfection. Yeah. And his vows are very simple. That's why you read through the 10 great vows of Bodhisattva, you will have a lot of joy. Then it is developed to help cultivators of the way. Yeah. And they say, if you are born a woman, her vow help women a lot. Very powerful. It was mentioned inside there, Pusen can help a lot of lady cultivators. Because of what I forgot, last time I remember when I print out from the internet, it was mentioned. I share with you all, remember Samantara Bhadra Bodhisattva, the 10 great vow, that it was described inside there before we went for the trip. You go back and read again, I cannot remember already. So this type of vow, like Kumarajiva, you don't think it's like storytelling now. Hey, really true. Because they are so confident with their translation. It's just like before Sakyamuni actually was able to word of the Mara's attack, you remember? Beneath the Bodhi tree that night when he meditated, he was tested and attacked by all those Mara, and they sent not only the fierce one, they sent the very pretty one, the three daughter of Maraha king, also cannot do anything to him. Then finally they challenge him, who give you the right to sit down there? Then Sakyamuni put out the hand, one point out, one point down. He said, heaven and earth bear witness every time he come. He developed that perfection and that cultivation. That's why he has that perfection to sit there, because he is going to be the Sammasambuddha. All already predicted by Dipankara Buddha. That's why it's all, you can say, already perfected. So the conditioning, everything is already there, and it is going to manifest. That's why all these great beings, they know. Even Amitabha Buddha, the 48 great vow, very heavy vow, 48大愿. Actually, if you look at how he make his vow, it's near to impossible to develop that type of vow. He vowed until all of the what they call world system or universe that he is able to create. That's why he got such thing as Pure Land. There will be no hell rhyme, animal rhyme, pitta rhyme, demon rhyme. These four rhyme don't have one. If got any of these four rhyme, he vowed not to attain or realize the perfect Sammasambuddha Buddhahood. And because of his persistency and strict diligence and faith towards those vow, finally he perfected it. That's why I said, if Amitabha can fulfill his vow, whatever Bodhisattva way you take, your vow is chicken feet compared to his. I tell you, it's chicken feet, really. He can vow until whatever rhyme he create, without the four woeful state. No? It means he is more powerful than Astor Bodhisattva. No? Astor Bodhisattva only clear the hell rhyme. No? Not until the hell rhyme is empty, he doesn't want to be a Sammasambuddha. This one, no hell rhyme, no peta, no animal, and no demon. Minimum 5 precept, human being and above. That's why you go, and those who cultivate Pure Land, they make aspiration to be born in the Pure Land, is because of that. Because you are at least first stage of sainthood, you won't fall down to the four woeful state, or they call karma dukkati, the sensual realm of suffering, the four woeful state. Because in his universe, in his Pure Land, There is no such rhyme. So you are very safe one up there. Even very lazy also you won't fall. So for him to perfect all those vow is not easy. But yet he can develop it and fulfill them. So after you come to that understanding, that's why last time when I shared the Bodhisattva way, I remember telling some of you, you don't have to worry about the Bodhisattva way as if it's so difficult, so long. You only have to recall to mind, if Amitabha Buddha can fulfill his vow, then yours is chicken feet. Your vow is compared to his is nothing. That's why he took the longest. You know. He took 12 world cycles. You know. Asangayakapas, compared to Sakyamuni, 3 3/4. And those who go by Virya is about 8 world cycle, Asangayakapas. But he went through by faith and sheer determination and faith. That's why it took him 12 world cycle, the longest. Okay, then we read on. Yao Qing dynasty. Got such dynasty. Qin, is it the Qin dynasty? Yao Qing. It's the name given to the reign period of the emperor Yao Xing. It is not the same as... Sorry, it is not the same as... Shi Wang Ti, Qin Shi Huang, the surname Qin is the same. It's not the same as Yun Qin, the reign period of Qin Shi Huang, Shi Wang Ti, or as Fu Qin, reign period of Emperor Fu Qian. When Fu Qian was assassinated by Yao Chang, the dynasty was renamed as Yao Qing, in honor of the new emperor. Yao Chang in time was succeeded by the nephew Yao Xing, and the dynasty name Yao Qing was retained. It was during the reign of Yao Xing, a strong supporter of Buddhism, that Kumarasiva translated the Sutta. So it was during the 344 to 413 AD. Means you add 543. It's almost 900 years later. 900 years later. Tripitaka refers to the three divisions of the Buddhist canon. The Sutra division, spoken for the study of samadhi, the Vinaya division, spoken for the study of morality, and the Sastra division, spoken for the study of wisdom. You see, this is the Mahayana way of actually reclassification of the Tipitaka, or the teachings of the Buddha. They divide into the three baskets. So the first one is called the Sutra division, which was what the Buddha spoke actually, then Vinaya. Then the last one, they call it Sastra division. Under Theravada is called the Abhidhamma, or the higher teaching. Here they rename it as Sastra division, spoken for the study of wisdom. You see, if you were to use the Theravada tree basket, then you can actually understand why they classify it this way. Vinaya is the same, the monk's precept, means spoken for the study of morality, means you develop mindfulness of the precepts that you're supposed to keep. You undertake those training rules not to violate, to abstain from all those things. Then after that, we got the Sutta Pitaka. First is Vinaya Pitaka, then Sutta Pitaka. Sutta Pitaka are all the section on the discourse of the Buddha. All of the sutta or sutra, they are the discourse of the Buddhas. And because of that, it was through hearing of the sutta. So the first turning wisdom leading to the reflection and contemplation. And because it was taught in that way, through verbal, so at that time, they call it spoken for the study of samadhi. Means you hear it, first turning wisdom, then reflect, contemplate, second turning wisdom. Means you stabilize your mind. You develop the base to receive the ultimate higher truth. Means it prepares the base for you to awaken, to become enlightened. That's why he said, this division, the sutta, spoken for the study of samadhi. Means after you listen to the sutra, you're supposed to develop samadhi. Yeah. Then after that, when they speak the higher teaching, which is the sastra division, this is to develop the penetrative wisdom to awaken. Yeah. So this is how Mahayana classified them. Dhamma master has two meanings. He masters the Dhamma and gives it to others. And he takes the Dhamma as his master. So these are the two meanings of Dhamma master. Then there are four kinds of Dhamma master. Oh, they go to that extent. First one is what? Those who explain the Dhamma for others through lecturing sutra and discussing the principle of Dhamma. This one, there is explanation. Then the next one is what? Those who read and recite the sutta for others. Then those who write out the sutta for others. Then those who accept and maintain the sutra themselves. So these are the four ways they classify it. To me, I think it's not that important. We read on. The last kind of Dhamma master accepts the principle of a sutta in his mind. And with his body, put the principle into practice. His cultivation is the embodiment of a sutra's meaning. Not all Dhamma master are Tipitaka master. Some may have read only the Sutta, or only the Vinaya, or only the Sastra division. As a Tipitaka Dhamma master, Kumarajiva has penetrated all the three divisions of the canon, the Sutras, the Sastras, and the Vinaya. So this is how they classify. You put in Tipitaka, Dhamma master, means you must finish off the three divisions. Otherwise the title Tipitaka cannot be there. You only Dhamma master, maybe only for Dhamma. Or only Sutta, or only Vinaya. Then Kumarasiva was the son of Kumarayana, who refused to inherit his father's high position in order to live the home life and cultivate the way. During his travel as a mendicant, Kumarayana was received by the king of Kucha, a small country of central India, and invited to be national master there. Later, by imperial command, he was forced to marry the king's sister, Jiva, while she carried their son Kumarajiva. Oh, that's how the name come about. Kumara, then the wife's name Ziva. Her wisdom and power of learning increased remarkably, a phenomenon which also occurred while Sariputta was in his mother's womb. Oh, really? When you carry a great being, the mother's wisdom was also very, very different. So, Yun Chan, when you carry your children, your wisdom got changed or not? Oh, good. Later, Kumarajiva's mother wished to leave the home life. Finally, after a period of fasting, she received permission from her reluctant husband, who, although formerly a bhikkhu, had by then developed a strong attachment to his beautiful wife. After Jiva became a bhikkhuni, she quickly certified to the first fruit of arahantship, that is, she became a sotapanna. The Sanskrit name Kumarajiva means mature youth, because even as a youth, he has the virtuous conduct of an elder. In one day, he could memorize more than 36,000 words. In 2 days, he was able to recite the entire Dhamma Blossom Sutra from memory. At the age of 7, Kumarajiva left the home life. One day, while visiting a temple in Kashgar with his mother, he picked up a huge, what is this censer? On one of the altar and lifted it over his head as an offering to the Buddha. After doing so, he thought, this is too heavy for me to lift, and the discrimination rendered him incapable of holding the censer, so that he had to cry out to his mother for help. From that experience, he came to a sudden and total realization that everything is made from the mind alone. Oh, see, you go and carry something very heavy. Oh, then after that, you realize it's heavy. You awaken. Like him. Everything is made from the mind alone. That's why when your mind don't perceive it as heavy, sometimes unknowingly, you can lift it up. No? Because you are confident. They call it mind over matter. During the Fuqing dynasty in China, an astrologer predicted that a great sage would come. Emperor Fuqian recognized the sage as to be Kumarajiva and sent a massive army commanded by General Lu Quan to escort the Dhamma master to China. The king of Kucha disregarding Kumarajiva's advice that the advancing troops were not militant, countered the invasion. In the ensuing battle, Kucha's king was killed and his army defeated. Many political changes followed, which delayed Kumarajiva's arrival in China until the Yao Qing dynasty. Kumarajiva established a translation center in Chang'an. Chang'an was the old capital of China. Chong'an, they always say Chong'an. The capital city, where he translated over 300 volumes of sutra texts, among them the Vajrapajñaparamita Sutta, which is the Diamond Sutta, volume 577 of the Great Prajna Sutta. Okay, so we finish the introduction. Now we go to chapter 1, officially chapter 1. So we finish the translator's section. Okay, any question so far? Do you have any question? Because the translation side is not so important. It's more of the line of story, how it lead to the coming of Kumarajiva to do the translation. Then the reason for the Dhamma assembly, which is what we are going into. Chapter 1. You got any question, right? Anybody want to ask anything or share anything? Yeah, use the mic.
This Kumarajiva also translate the Lotus Sutra. I think Xuan Zhang and him is the two person. And then he is one of the one widely accepted. And also, I read a little bit of his story is when he was in China, the emperor of China actually want him to produce an heir. So he make him, actually, they all make him drunk and put some women in him.
Oh.
So a lot of people actually question his cultivation.
Mm.
So he actually proved it to them by this is from the from the internet I read.
Yeah.
So he said, if I can eat needles, can you all eat needles? So this is one way. Mm. So, and I think I went to one of the temple in China where they put his relics.
Oh, good.
I actually didn't know who is he when I was there, because I was in Xi'an. Actually, Qiong'on is Xi'an now.
Ah, yes.
So I went to one of the temple where they put his relics.
Mm.
I was very surprised. I want to share this.
Mm.
It was a very small temple in a very remote area. So when I was there, the moment I walked near the stupa, I can really feel the energy.
Sadat.
So what I want to do is only to just sit there and meditate. Then later we went around the temple and we came out. So I was there again.
Yeah.
One of the, we went in a group. One of them was very ill. I think Andy Chan. Then he was saying, I say, you make a wish lah. In front of this stupa, he don't believe it. I say, okay, never mind. I'll make on your behalf. So what I did was actually I went around the stupa, three round. I make the sincere wish for him, and sure enough, he actually the next day he was very well. So this is the little experience that I have with this great monk when
good.
I was there.
Thank you, Sadhu. Thank you for the sharing. I also didn't know there are so many stories. Maybe you all got any interest, you can go and Google and find out. Then if there is something that is useful, we can also develop the understanding. So we thank Mimi for the good sharing. Okay, if there is no more question, we will go to chapter 1. The reason for the Dhamma assembly. So this is chapter 1 of the Diamond Sutta. Thus have I heard, at one time the Buddha was staying in the Jeta Grove of Garden of the Benefactor of Orphans, and the solitary together with a gathering of great bhikkhus, 1250 in all. At that time, at meal time, the world-honored one put on his robe, took up his bowl, and entered the great city of Sarvati to beg for food. After he had finished his sequential begging, the word is not right, not begging, it's arms round. Within the city, he returned, ate the food, put away his robe and bowl, washed his feet, arranged his seat, and sat down. The other translation is, you turn to this one that I give you. This translation is easier to understand. I think it's page 3. Page 3, chapter 1. From this is what I heard, is it? Actually, it's thus have I heard. At one time, the Buddha was staying at the Jeta Grove near the city of Sarvati, which is the same, but the English is better. With him, there was a community of 1,250 monks, venerable monks, and devoted disciples. One day before dawn, the Buddha clothed himself and along with his disciple took up his alms bowl and enters the city. Again, he used to beg. He goes for alms round. For alms, door to door, as was his custom. After he had returned and eaten, he put away his bowl and cloth, bathed his feet, and then sat with his leg crossed and body upright upon the seat arranged for him. He began mindfully fixing his attention in front of himself, while many monks approached the Buddha and showed great reverence, seated themselves around him. This one is slightly more detailed. Okay, well now we can go into the commentary. So, according to the commentary, thus I have heard, these are the words. Those are the words, are the first of the six requirements. It is essential that all who lecture or read suttas be quite familiar with the six requirements, which are belief, hearing, time, host, place, and audience. This is the Mahayana way of presenting a sutta. They are very strict on all these six requirements. Thus is the requirement of belief. Actually, it's not belief. Thus means suchness, the truth. It's not that he believed that the Buddha was during that time going amra. No. Thus have I heard means suchness. This is the truth. It happened. That's why it's called thus. So here, I don't know why they use the word belief. I have heard is the requirement of hearing. At one time, it's the requirement of time. The Buddha is the requirement of a host. That in Savati, in the Jeta group, and the garden of benefactor of orphan and the solitary, is the requirement of a place. Then together with a gathering of great bhikkhus, 1250 in all, is the requirement of an audience. So these are the six things that need to be fulfilled for a sutta to arise. This is what Mahayana often refer to. The six requirements prove that a sutta was spoken by the Buddha, since the requirement begin every sutta, they are called the common preface. The text which immediately follows them varies with each sutra, and so it is called the specific preface. In this sutta, the specific preface is, at that time, at mealtime, the world-honored one put on his robe, took off his bowl, and entered the great city of Savati to go for alms round. After he had finished his sequential alms round within the city, he returned, ate the food, put away his robe and bowl, washed his feet, arranged his seat, and sat down. So the common preface is also called both the foreword and the postscript. When lecturing sutra, one can discuss this section as a foreword to the sutta and also as a postscript appended at a later date. Can a preface really be called either a foreword or a postscript, you might ask? There is nothing fixed about it. Whatever is fixed is not Buddha Dhamma. See? Not rigid one. Whatever that is fixed is not Buddha Dhamma. The Vajra Sutta make clear the principle of no fixed Dhamma. When something is fixed upon, the resultant attachment causes obstruction, which in turn leads to affliction. When there is no attachment, emptiness is without affliction. So this saying is quite meaningful. I read again. When there is no attachment, emptiness is without affliction. You agree or not? When your hand does not cling, grasp or hold. When there is no attachment, then in emptiness, because there is nothing there, everything is conditioned arising. So in emptiness, there is no affliction. Okay, we will read on. When there is no attachment, emptiness is without affliction. When all is empty, to what can one be attached? What then cannot be put down? When one is completely empty of self, what affliction could there be? Affliction comes when one's viewpoint is not empty of self. So by now you should be able to understand this sentence, huh? Can follow this one or not? Yeah? If not, we better discuss it. When one is completely empty of self, means what? You don't have the self-delusion anymore, understand not? Sakkaya ditti. Self-delusion with regards to what? Yeah? With regards to what? Yeah? What is this self-delusion, sakkaya ditti? You are deluded because of what? Yeah? Sakkaya ditti. This is very important, no? Yeah? With regards to what? The first noble truth, final summary. Huh? Self-delusion with regards to what? Ah, the five aggregate of form and mind. Huh? That's why I didn't rub off. It's still on the whiteboard. You can see this fellow, huh? This one is what the living being is all about. Huh? The human being is all about. So you have a physical body, you have a mind, okay? So this mind, there are two, mundane mind and true mind, okay? True mind, which is within your nature, which is silent, you cannot perceive it because it has got nothing inside there. Whereas the condition arising mind can arise consciousness, can have thinking, activity of mind. That's why this is what they call the five aggregate of form and mind, mental aggregate. So this first aspect is the combination of the consciousness and the physical body. You also have this five aggregate of form and mind. Then after that, when the mental aggregate of form and mind come about through perception, when you start to perceive through the consciousness, perception brings about the external form into the mind. So this one also create the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the second aspect. So when you are heedless, this so-called you, heedless, think a lot. So the aggregates of feeling, rupa, vedana, sanya, and sankara, together with vijnana, they will arise. So these are the five mental aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect, mental. That's why I circle here. So self-delusion here means you deludedly grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind. Self-delusion. This is what sakkaya ditti is all about. When you believe this one is you, all of the aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana is what you are. That is self-delusion. So when you are empty of self, means you do not hold and cling and grasp. That's why there is no more affliction. This one is a very important understanding. This is the opening statement of this Diamond Sutta. So when you understand that there are two types of mind, mundane mind and the true mind, which is the essence of mind, your true nature. When thoughts cease to be, when you are silent, then only you can touch this one. And this one is without word, always heedful, aware, silent, no word, nothing. That's why this is the direct seeing. This is the meditative mind. This is the silent mind. Whereas the other one is heedless, think a lot, condition arising mind, dependent on the senses, upon contact, it arises. That's why it's condition arising, like the physics experiment. And whatever that is condition arising is impermanent, lead to suffering when you cling onto it, hold onto it, and want it to be forever the same. Because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold, grasp and cling and own or possess. That's why it's anatta, non-self. Then it's also empty. So the three characteristics of impermanent suffering state and anatta nature or empty nature, non-self nature, is very important. Once you meditate and you are able to awaken to their universal characteristic, then sakkayaditti no more, self-delusion no more. Then with that wisdom, which is prajna, that's why we talk about prajna paramita sutta, diamond sutta. This wisdom, the moment you realize through the silent mind, the true mind in meditation, this wisdom or understanding, which is yonisomanasikara, will prevent this five aggregate of form and mind from becoming deluded. So once the five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded, yeah, this one is born of karma, then this so-called human being will not have any more suffering or affliction. And you can say, this one is an enlightened being, Arya. Understand? Arya, enlightened being. But this Arya is not you, understand? This Arya is not you. Because of what? Yeah? Because this flaw is condition arising, anasana, karmically conditioned, born of your karma, karmically conditioned out for you to live life. Make use of. This is the vehicle and tool that you come with to this world, to this universe, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and to develop your cultivation or whatever. So this is what you need to understand so that you are not deluded by the five aggregate of form and mind. So this first chapter is very important. It's only through the commentary that we have the condition to develop this understanding. That's why here, they start off by saying that the true Dhamma is nothing about rigidity. Nothing is fixed. So there is nothing fixed about it. Whatever that is fixed is no, is not the Buddha Dhamma. Then this Vajra Sutta make clear the principle of non-fixed Dhamma. When something is fixed upon, the resultant attachment causes obstruction, which in turn leads to affliction. When there is no attachment, emptiness is without affliction. So now you can understand the sentence. Yeah. Then when all is empty, to what can one be attached? What then cannot be put down? When one is completely empty of self, means this five aggregate of form and mind, the moment you realize that it is completely empty of a self within, that's why it's anatta. But before you can realize anatta, you have to penetrate anicchang. Actually, anicchang is the one, the first universal characteristic that you will penetrate. The moment you penetrate anicchang, you will understand anatta straight away. This one, it will be very difficult for most of you to understand. But for those who already penetrated and understood, you will understand what I say. Because the moment you realize impermanent, anicchang, you will come to understand anatta straight away. No need to think. Immediately you awaken to that, this one will manifest. That's why the true cultivation is when you awaken to impermanent, actually the other two characteristics, they will simultaneously be understood. That's why these three universal characteristics, immediately when you will awaken to all the three. Yeah. And all the time, it starts with anicchang, impermanent. So this part is very important. When one is completely empty of self, what affliction can be there? Affliction comes when one's viewpoint is not empty of self. This one you can follow in there. Your viewpoint is what? you think there is a person inside you, that has these views and opinion of things. That's why you say, no, 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 this is not right. I am a Chinese. So all this is delusion, self-delusion. Because you cling on to a viewpoint. And when you cling on to a viewpoint, you are not empty of self, because there is somebody having that view. Understand? Who is that somebody? The five aggregate of form and mind. Things have not been seen through, smashed and put down. Therefore, wherever you go, you are stuck by thorn. This one is their way of giving you an analogy. Everywhere you go, like we all say, kena shot, chong chong. Everywhere you go, also kena shot. So this one, everywhere you go, stuck by thorn. Means affliction, suffering. Then wherever you go, you bump into wall. You know, jump back. So all these are hitting the dead end. Then arising all the affliction and suffering. Every place you go, you walk in the wall or get caught in brambles. And it is painful. So this painful is suffering, affliction. You feel pain because you have not put your body down. You have absolutely no self, no others, no living beings, no life, nothing at all. What pain is there? So now you know, nothing at all. So a dead man has got nothing in there. Identity also erased. No consciousness, no feeling, no perception. No views, no opinion, no activity of mind, no sankhara. Cannot even be conscious. That's why they say you are a dead man. So when you are alive, when you meditate, you must meditate like a dead man. Then you can put down everything. When you still have the egoic mind, the thought and the consciousness, it cannot awaken. It will want to know things. And wanting to know, wanting to experience, is avijja, ignorant. Who won? There is an identity that won all this. Means it's still not empty. Understand? That's why without avijja, there is no sankhara. Now you understand? Avijja paccaya sankhara. Without ignorance, without delusion, without all this, it will not arise any thought or any thinking. That's why when you meditate, you can learn how to be like a dead man. Then you learn how to die before you die. Understand? While the consciousness is still there doing all the funny things, you already understood what death is. When you cannot move, there is separation of consciousness from the form. So you have to experience deeper level of silence. That's why the silent mind, the stillness, the true mind is very important. Relax, aware, silent. The whole of meditation is about silence. Then they ask, who has pain? Who has pain? When you say, hey, this one is very painful. Who say this one very painful? Who? You have to inquire into it and break free from it so that you are not deluded by it. When you feel tactile consciousness that your brain, through your memory, through your conditioning, attach and cling and label it as pain. Who is in pain? Who say pain? That's why you need to inquire. You need to go deep into it. Then you will understand, finally, what mind is all about. What the aggregates are all about. And how you get yourself deluded with self-delusion and attach and cling and hold. Because your mind, you cannot silence and penetrate to understand what is happening. So now we go into this. Like here, Xuanhua asked, Who is in pain? Huh? Who has pain? What pain is there? When there is not even a person who feels pain, what affliction can be there? Where would the affliction come from? This is easy to talk about, but difficult to do. Ah, now you understand why I ask you. Theory no use one, no. Theory cannot break free one. You will still believe that the pain is you one, no. You agree or not? Yeah? Especially when you are sick, when there is a lot of this unpleasant feeling coming around. Yeah. Especially when you are sick. Yeah. I don't know how many of you have really investigated into it. Yeah. Many times, every time I got this opportunity, wow, I very happy, I will investigate. Then I see how the mind lends itself into all those things. And you start to understand, this mundane mind really very, very cunning. He can tell you a lot of great stories. Then when you penetrate and realize that all this is delusion, then straight away, this so-called conditionalizing mind, mundane mind, loses its power to delude you. That's why the whole phenomenal world of consciousness just collapse in front of you overnight. The whole of creation just collapse. That is the power of that insight, that penetrative wisdom. Not until the whole lot of phenomenal world collapse in front of you, you will never be able to tell this is not real, this is not me. That's why the true cultivation is very different from what people think and perceive. Oh, they go and sit. Then after fantastic experience of meditation, then they become very still, very peaceful, very calm, and they can see fantastic meditation. Then they thought, oh, like Surangama Sutta, how they cannot trap the 50 demon samadhi. But their state are so powerful and so what they call gullible. It can really deceive people. Then they believe they already enlightened. But everything is still so real to them, and they still think they are enlightened. If you cannot penetrate the fine aggregate of form and mind and understand the universal characteristic and insight into it, and realize that the whole lot of phenomenal world of consciousness has got no reality, you will never wake up. You will still believe that this fine aggregate of form and mind is as real as it can be. Okay, maybe this is your homework. Go back, reflect, contemplate. Then next Tuesday, we don't have the condition. Somebody else giving talk. Then you can ask her about this fine aggregate of form and mind. You can also maybe develop the condition for all this sharing. No, it's the way she put it. Because different viewers understand it differently. Then they put it like very abstract, very interesting. But it depends on her understanding. Then the way she explained. From the way she explained, you will know. Because you must understand, Mahayana teaching sometimes you cannot become gullible, because they got a lot of this fantastic Mahayana sutta which are very abstract one. Then if it's direct from the sutta, means without their own penetrative understanding, then it become like words. But when it is explained with understanding, you will know it's different. It comes from a true cultivator who has developed the penetrative understanding. You all can see. The title, I think every place is different, isn't it? And Wu Ping Jing Se also different. Wu Ping Jing Se one is one day before. After Shi Jie Yan, I remember. 26. Shi Jie Yan. Oh, he came back from Malacca. Yeah, yeah. Oh, this one is talking about what is. She also used this word, embracing the challenges of what is. Buddha never ignore social changes. What is the reality. But he used this word, Buddha never ignore social changes. Means he's trying to tell you, Buddha is also sensitive to life. But life doesn't mean it's just social changes. Life is about life, all aspects of living. So when you embrace or confront what is, you need a lot of wisdom. That's why she used the word embracing the challenges of what is. Why must he use the word challenges of what is? Because he knew you all got a lot of sakkayaditti. You attach, you want things your way. That's why he said it's a great challenge to embrace what is. Means what? No matter what happened, you can accept the reality of the moment. That's why you can embrace what is. Then she used the word embracing the challenges of what is. It's a great challenge for people who don't have the wisdom and penetrative understanding. You have heard before, you know, a lot of people say, after what they have done to me, you mean forgive them? Accept them? Embrace them? Love them? They cannot, because the human mind is full of anger, hatred, and the sakkayaditti is so strong. That's why to embrace what is not easy. To come to acceptance of whatever that arise and happen in this world is not easy. So that title is easier. The one at Tuesday one, that one is not easy. But it depends on how people explain it. 28. You say, not mine, or not no mine. Not mine, not Buddha, not a thing. Truth knocks, but we say, go away. Why? If you read direct, it's like contradictory, isn't it? You know why, you see? Not mine. M-I-N-D, not M-Y. Or M-I-N-E. He said, it's not the mind. Then it's not Buddha. It's not a thing. Truth knocks, but we say, go away. Who is the we? See? Not mind, not Buddha, not a thing, but there is a we inside there. And some of that we can talk, why? Go away. But he asked a question, why? very likely if she has that penetrative understanding, very likely she might have, otherwise she dare not choose this title. But from the way it is explained, you will understand. By now, you should have that capability to understand. And when Dhamma is being shared, it is during those moments of sharing, and when you listen attentively, you will come to understand whether the sharing by that particular form of mind, it has the penetrative understanding or not. You will know. Then there is no right and no wrong, because people are just the way they are. So different level, they will understand it differently. They will teach and share differently, no problem. But should be very wholesome because she already long time nun, understand? And she should have her parami and affinity, otherwise it won't be such a coincidence. Huh? Everything just fall into place and it just happened. Yeah. I didn't do anything. Yeah. It's just because Joyce has affinity with her. Then Joyce take it out upon her to actually invite her to come over. Then like she told you, after making the decision only she start to panic. Because she thought invite her over for a few days. When she replied, the nun replied, she wanted 10 days, she will be here for 10 days. Wow, Joyce, where am I going to bring her for 10 days? So she starts to contact all the centers. And surprisingly, the answer came back all very favorable. They are willing to actually give her the slot to give the sharing there. So all these are good signs. Then also because you look at the photo, she look very pleasant. She is not very elderly. I was told by Joyce she's only about 60 plus, 66. So anyway, there is good affinity to meet another good cultivator. And he is a Caucasian. What is a Caucasian? Amor. So her English is very good. Australian, Australian, Caucasian is Australian, yeah. Her English should be very good. How many of you have heard his tape or recording? Heard tape or recording? I haven't heard. That day when Joyce sent over the WhatsApp link, I thought was one of her talk. I clicked. Only words come out for this schedule. At first I thought it was a talk, so I was trying to on it and see what has been shared. Then I on it, I saw this schedule. So anyway, we welcome her with all our sincerity because of great condition. Then we should be able to benefit from whatever sharing that she has. Then you can listen to something from another angle or another point of cultivation, which is very good, because when you are open mind and when you can be exposed to the various type of teaching and the sharing, means you are ready. I still remember not in HBA, no slot for her. HJBA don't have. Maybe they cannot really, their slots are full. Their slots are full, I remember. They book Thursday class. We supposed to combine with Thursday class. So on that day, they will come here. Those who wants to attend, they will come here. That's why Padma Suri, they are, Susan, they are, and some Kayanamita, you know why they want to come so early or not next Tuesday. 3:30 they want to be here, they prepare for the, prepare all this for her, what, the dana, the puja and all those things. Then help to arrange this place a bit. That's why people who have the faith, definitely, they will do, they will know what to do. Then Joyce will also do a lot of things because she was the one who invited her. Then the condition is such, when things is such, condition will manifest. Then because of her parami, there are people who will come and do all these things. So you can see from what is happening, and you can feel it, like it is going to be something wholesome, something very beneficial and beautiful. We got another 6 minutes. You got any question? So today maybe we can stop here. So you go back and reflect on this, who has pain. Actually, Master Xuan Hua also quite wise. He said, when you inquire into all this, you feel pain because you have not put down your body. If you have absolutely no self, no others, no living being, no life, nothing at all, what pain is there? And then he asks you, who has pain? When there is not even a person, then who feels pain? What affliction can there be? Where would the affliction come from? These are all pointers towards your inquiry, you know, make simple for you, you know. That's why you go back and use all this, you will actually develop your own understanding. Then he give you a hint, this is easy to talk about, but difficult to do. That's why I always tell you, you think you know, but to cultivate until that understanding to be a part of you is two different things. You really, really have that understanding. That's why I said, when you penetrate and understood, you really understand what creation is. The whole phenomenal world of consciousness, the whole lot of creation by the five aggregate of form and mind, Monday mind, just collapse in front of you, the whole thing just gone. You remember the Heart Sutta? You return all our external form, phenomenal appearances back to what? Huh? You return them back to what? Huh? All of the external phenomenal world, creation, external form, you return to? Louder lah. Why so shy? Huh? Return to what? No. The source is the last one. Why so fast? You got four. First one, you return to what? Wow. Means a lot of you still haven't penetrated there. All the external form, phenomenal world, the creation that you create through your mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, return to what? Consciousness. Anasana. Then, consciousness, you return to what? The true mind. Anasana. Then after that only, it ceases. That's why you return to the source. So these are the four stages you come and you create. That's why the phenomenal world is the final creation by the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, thinking mind. And that is consciousness and his content. So when you return all of external form to consciousness, then how real can it be? Understand? That's why it's a phenomenal world of consciousness. Understand? It's only consciousness. The mind labor it, holding on to it, sustaining it. That's why it become real. Understand? That's why when the mind is penetrated, then you realize this is condition arising. Just an image. How real can it be? Externally already condition arising, you saw them, how they come and how they go, appearing, disappearing. The birth and death, the coming and the going. Even like this table, it has its condition. If externally already condition arising, not so real, because whatever that is condition arising is impermanent, dependent on condition, it arises. When condition continue to exist and sustain itself, it continue to exist. But the moment condition cease to be, it cease to be. And the universal characteristic is there because everything is condition arising. Whatever that is condition arising is in a state of flux, ever changing, ever moving. Then when condition cease to be, it cease to be. Then externally already impermanent, not so real. Then when you return to consciousness, how do you know about the table, all the external phenomena? You know it through consciousness, is there? Through your mind. And what is consciousness? Phenomenal world of consciousness, which is images, even more unreal. So, like the bullock cart analogy. Externally already not so real, condition arising. How do you know there is a bullock cart or the phenomenal world? Based on your mental image, based on what memory tell you and what you hold on to. And this image is even more unreal, understand? It's just an image, understand? Then why do you cling on to it, hold on to it, and give so much meaning? And cry over it so miserably. It's just like what I used to say, it's only a thought, an image. How come it has such power to make living beings so miserable? So when you know that they are all impermanent, condition arising, causal phenomena, no reality, just images, consciousness, come and go, then like the emptiness talk. The only reality in life is the moment. Moment to moment life passes by. How real can it be? Split second is dead and gone, dead and gone. That's why there is no reality, understand? That's why the whole of the phenomenal world, it just collapses in front of you. No reality. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as nature's law that governs life and existence within the condition arising world. That's why you know how to make use of this to live. Ah, that is the ultimate wisdom that you must develop. Then you cannot be deluded. You don't mix up the two. Ultimate truth or wisdom, understanding is from the cultivation, the true mind that awakens to all this. When it see the characteristic clearly, it's no longer deluded by it. That's why it does not suffer anymore. It cannot be deceived. That's why the whole of the phenomenal world just collapse. And the condition arising mind, the five degree form of mind, the thought, it loses its power to delude the form of mind. There is clarity, there is understanding. That's why that type of awakening is very powerful. It's not about knowledge, it's not about thought. It is penetrative understanding. And the moment you understand, you really awaken and no more deluded. So this sutta has that ability to impact living being cultivator to awaken straight away. But this sutta is like Huining's teaching, pointing directly to the nature, the true mind. You don't have to waste time on the thinking mind, mundane mind. That's why all the method, technique and all those things, actually, you don't need them. You can just relax, silent, and you penetrate. You only need to cultivate the five spiritual faculties and maintain heedfulness. That is about all. Five spiritual faculties leading to the heedfulness, then you will awaken. Very simple, huh? Okay, so take home that one and do it as your homework. Okay, we finish. Yeah, you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we are at page 19. How come you all don't have question on? You should make it a point to write down your question. Because don't worry about your question. Sometimes your question may not appear to be like very smart or very intellectual question. Sometimes simple, like not smart, that type of question is the best because it can trigger a great condition for real Dhamma to flow. Okay, maybe you reserve it for next Tuesday. The Dhamma speaker will be another lady, a nun, Bhikkhuni, so she can answer. Or you want to write down also can, then pass the slip to her. Or if you want me to answer, you can keep the same slip the following Tuesday. We will go through it. Maybe we have longer period for Q&A. You want that? The following Tuesday, not coming on, the next one. We should have more Q&A. Not to say they don't ask. They don't see the important yet. When they see the important, they will ask non-stop. And I can tell you, it is through the discussion that the Dhamma really sink in. Very, very important. Well, last time, the early days when I cultivate, you see, you may think I talk to my teacher. Actually, I ask questions, but indirectly. Yeah. Those that we understand, we just talk. Yeah. Even through the talking, the understanding come about, and very powerful. He learned from me, I learned from him. Then for you all, it's the same. As you start to share and use it to inquire, then through the inquiry, the question come out. Then when the moment I answer, you will actually develop understanding. Then others also develop understanding. But this is a faster way to learn. Understand? Otherwise, you keep quiet, he keep quiet, everybody keep quiet. You learn very slow, I tell you. Yes. Can, Chui, yeah. Yeah. Master Xuan Hua said, not me.
I mean, the book says
The book say completely empty of self.
One is completely empty of self. Is that almost the same as like the mind has no dwelling?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, very good.
So it's, sadhu. It's like a different period in time where they sort of use different words, but actually it's the same thing.
Yeah, but the explanation is very important. You can use any word, but when you understand, whatever word you use and explain is correct. It's the same, just like what you have understood. Yeah? When the mind has got no dwelling, there is no sense of atta, anasana. Because the mind doesn't dwell. Dwelling means what? There is a thought, anasana, that perceives and dwells there. And what is that thought? It's egoic, anasana. That's why there is a self, anasana. Who say it's stable? When you dwell on this perception of table or the fan, the aircon. It's the thought, isn't it? And who is that thought? The five aggregate of form and mind. That's why it arises already, understand? But when there is no sense of a self, means what? You know this five aggregate of form and mind is empty, impermanent. The moment you grasp clean, give meaning and whole, affliction, suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold, grasp and cling and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. Then when you see the delusion of this, then you realize they are all empty, just like Hatsuta said. Then he know you, he know me. Then the five aggregate of form and mind, you have to inquire deeper. If it's not me, then how come they arise in me? Then who am I? What am I? That's why the green book come in. And that is just the surface. No? After that, when you penetrate, who are you, what are these things, then you realize this is for you to use to live life. Understand? No? That's what you use. Then you know how to live. Then there is no delusion. Use means not a person using it. Understand? No? It's the wisdom, the understanding connected to the five aggregate of form and mind. And the five aggregate of form and mind is no longer deluded. That's why it no longer cling and hold. It use, like the car. Use, understand? Car get accident? Oh, you feel pain. Consciousness trapped inside, yeah, you feel the tactile. Car get accident? I say, only car one. Need to send the mechanic, send . But if you feel painful about the money, then it's another level of attachment. Understand? Means you don't attach to a car, you attach to the money you have to spend to repair the car. That is how attachment can go to different level. It's no longer the car that you attach, because you painful because pocket got one hole. Understand? Then you think, your NCB also lost. How? Then after repair, don't know whether the car like last time or not. If not going to change car, how? Then 3 weeks without car. You go and project your thought and do. That's why suffering take on different level. Understand? Or? When you understand, car is only a car. Understand? Or? Not you. Understand? Or? Need to sense. All these are the rightful thing that you need to do. You have to do. You need to attend to it. You attend to it. That's it. Finish. The thought that has the self and the ego that calculate, that is selfish, will think of money. Oh, pain. Money, one hole here. Then worry about this. This is how sankhara create. Then you attach to what your thought tell you, through your perception, through your views and opinion. All these are wrong thought. That's why it conditions suffering. That's why when you inquire, even through a question by Chui like that, so much Dhamma come about. If you don't inquire like that, I don't explain. And because it's recorded, that's why you have to go back and listen. Then when you listen, you reflect and contemplate on the words. Don't listen to the words, understand? The word is not the thing, understand? But the word points towards the thing. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate on the word. You don't just listen to the word and say, I know. Understand? That is the most dangerous person in this world, Krishnamurti say. The guy who say, I know. So never say you know until you listen attentively. Then you inquire, why did Brother Theo say all this? Then as you probe and inquire and follow what I actually spoke, you will penetrate the Dhamma, and that is the real Dhamma. That's why you have to do a lot of homework on. Not just attend 2 hours, go back heedless again. Then daily mindfulness also not there. Daily religious routine also not there. Then how to maintain the heedfulness? How to maintain the heedful mind? How to cultivate daily mindfulness? How to transform the mind to be heedful? No way. That's why it demands a lot of hard work, a lot of faith, a lot of sincerity. And last time I used this word, no, now I dare not use. I always say it's a full-time job. You know, full-time job means what? Continuous heedfulness, no, not full-time working, no. Then the other Kairamita, he thought full-time job means my retire, no, full-time meditation, no. I say you retire full-time meditation, also no use, you don't understand what I mean. It doesn't mean you have to retire, understand or not? In the midst of life, in the midst of career working, you can still cultivate. We have the four foundation of mindfulness. It's about heedfulness, to be with the moment in life. And you can do it whether you are working or you are not working. As long as you are in the midst of life, existence, you can be in the meditative state. That is what the Buddha meant by heedfulness, in the midst of life. And when you have that understanding, then you understand why relatives say it's a full-time job. Understand? Means it's your duty to be heedful throughout the day. You know? Initially, it's your waking moment. Then later on, after your waking moment. Okay, we better end. I took extra 12 minutes. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now you understand. Question very important. See? You should thank Chui. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why, just like her, sincerely just ask and share whatever you understand. That's why she asked a very good question. Is it similar to the mind must have no dwelling? If she has not contemplated during the Wu Ping Jing Sunday class, and through the WhatsApp, discuss with Eng Bi and Sister Lee, she would not have had this style clarity of understanding of what that mind has no dwelling is. That's why because of that it can connect and link the Dhamma. So it's written in a different way by Xuan Hua on the Sana. When you put down the self completely, without self, means what? No egoic mind also. No atta inside there. The five aggregate of form and mind is the way it is. Pure aggregate. There is no delusion behind them. Means you don't cling, you don't hold, because you see them as pure aggregate. Karmically conditioned out for you to use. After you have developed the penetrative understanding of who you are, what you are. Yeah. And all these are connected, related. And all the teaching, later on you will understand, they are all connected and related. Okay, we will share merits with the devas. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idam me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idam me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idam me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. We will invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, and may there be a rich and good harvest throughout, and may the world be peaceful and prosperous always, and may the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits which we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Okay, make sure all the fruits, bring it over there, then you all take, eat whatever you can, then take back the rest.